From beach towels to tea towels, and from mugs to water bottles, the TNT Shop has it all. Browse our shop now at tntradio.live. Fearless, informative, and unfettered, Mark Morano is unleashed on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome to Unleashed on TNT. I'm your host, Mark Morano. All right. An awesome analysis. The answer to population control. Are you ready? Big pharma, abortion, child transitioning, gender ideology, smart cities, pandemic lockdowns, assisted suicide, pornography, media censorship, climate change, harm reduction, secularism. Yes, this is a post by Jesse Friedman, and it was posted on Robert Malone, the doctor's website, on his Substack. And Jesse Friedman writes, these are the components of something more sinister, a global strategy of population control that transcends the political divide pushed by those with an agenda to control so that they may prevail. And as I've said many times on TNT here, on Unleashed, the ruling class global elites, and just our ruling class in general, the credentialed class, the brightest, smartest, best schools, the best families, I say in quotes, have always sought reasons why the rest of us can't be free so they could rule over us. Now, Jesse Friedman goes on to say, I'm not talking about technocrats, also known as the elites, globalists, and careerists, or the Borg. It's not some fringe conspiracy about the Illuminati or the New World Order. The emergence of political class wedded to the moneyed class is no secret in Davos. Democratically elected governments have power but lack the means to instrumentalize that power. So they have turned to the captains of industry who control essential services within society and have merged their interests via public-private partnerships. Bingo! And of course, he says this is not the New World Order. He said he's not talking about the elites or the globalists. But he is, I think. I would beg to differ. We're arguing over semantics, but he nails it. The corporate government collusion, where the government, hey, during COVID, we didn't censor anything. Meanwhile, behind the scenes, they're telling companies, you gotta take them down. It was their voluntary choice, or else. That's the way government doesn't censor. Let's continue with Jesse Friedman. In these Malthusian power brokers who have led us to believe for decades that humanity is a burden on the planet, that will ultimately run out of resources and the earth is too small to house everyone. Bingo, that is exactly what they've claimed for time and time again, over and over. The global elites have literally said, we are running out, there's a crisis, we're gonna run out of food, oil, water, we're gonna run out of climate, a habitable climate, we're gonna run out of space on planet Earth. And this is what the message has always been. And of course, when COVID came along, they ran out of, very simply, they ran out of sobriety. They ran out of a sober analysis and they went full fear-mongering. Okay, just let's continue with this because this is such a good piece. This is, again, Jesse Friedman, and it's titled The Answer to Population Control. It's posted by Robert Malone on his Substack today. Some of these members of the ruling class are ideologues, bingo. Some are mere opportunists, bingo. But they all have, whether they understand it as such, an insatiable thirst for power. And politicians' control, population control, is one ruse by which they can acquire such power. That and crisis management, they make population control a crisis issue. I would just add one thing. He says their insatiable thirst for power. It's about power, but it's also arrogance. They actually believe they're helping the rest of us by imposing controls and regulating on us. It's kind of like a military commander they see themselves. And imagine if a grunt comes up, a private in the army comes up to the five-star general and says, General, I think you're doing it wrong. We need to do X, Y, Z. You would be told, yours is but to do and die. Shut up. Follow orders, not interested in what you have to say. That's exactly the attitude that happened during COVID. It's the attitude that's happening during the climate crisis. It's the attitude that happened during The terrorism threat, during 9/11, during any kind of national security threat. They just want you to do what you're told, obey, no dissent allowed, censorship. They have to be in charge because they're managing a crisis. That's a little different than power. I mean, it is power. But in the end, many of these nutballs, many of these elitists actually believe they are helping because they're preventing a climate crisis. They're preventing a population crisis. They're preventing a whole host of issues from environmental destruction to us killing ourselves, gun violence. I mean, they think they're saving the planet, they're saving humanity, and they're doing what's good for us because, frankly, we're not bright enough to manage ourselves. And if left to our own devices, we'll create climate crises, environmental destruction, racism. And there's a faction of this that actually believe it. Let me continue this with Jesse Friedman article. Hundreds of unsealed documents, meeting notes, books, reports, bills, public conversations, going back generations, have shown this to be true. Whether from the Bilderberg Group, the World Economic Forum, the Trilateral Commission, the United Nations, the Club of Rome, the Kissinger Report, population control has been a strategy refined and perfected over the years, conditioning so many of the rest of our heads at night to thinking we are on the right side of history by adopting such a worldview. I would just amend this slightly to say it's not just population. It's whatever the thing is at the moment. And yes, in the 1960s and 70s, population was very much the thing. Of course, it faded. You had the global cooling. Then you had global warming. You had the Amazon rainforest. Anyone remember that? Sting's rainforest concert, Disney films, National Geographic, how many football fields a minute? In the 1960s, 3 billion people populated the earth. Paul Ehrlich and his disciples convinced my parents and countless others their resources would be depleted by 1975. Today, we see a world sustained almost 8 billion, all of whom can fit in the state of Texas. All right, so it goes on. It's a fantastic article. I refer you to Robert Malone's Substack, Jesse Friedman, a very powerful article with a heavy focus on the population control as just one of the things that they do. All right. I promised this for the last couple of days. I finally have the clips. I was able to go through. This is RFK Jr.'s response to the State of the Union by Joe Biden here in the United States. RFK Jr., I think, nails it. This is it. We're going to go with clip one. This is RFK's vision of how he views the State of the Union in the United States. Clip one.
Tens of millions of young Americans no longer even dream of owning their own home. What happened to America, the land of opportunity, where you could be sure that if you worked hard and played by the rules, that you would have a decent life? All the new wealth of the last generation has gone to the billionaires and to transnational corporations, while our tattered middle class, our infrastructure, our industry have been hollowed out from the inside. Instead of promise, we've left our kids sick and drowning in debt. The public debt has gone from about $5 trillion under President George W. Bush to $34 trillion today, and U.S. household debt is at a record high of $17.3 trillion. If you include discouraged workers, our true unemployment rate is 23%. Young parents face housing, grocery, and childcare costs that are unaffordable. Too many Americans are living bleak and hopeless lives, dreading the one medical emergency or the car repair that will tip them over the edge into homelessness. We rank 40th globally in our people's health and wellness. Out of the richest countries in the world, the United States is 35th in child poverty rates, just above Mexico. We rank 36th in literacy and 45th in press freedom. We have one of the highest cancer rates in the world, and our life expectancy now ranks 59th, according to the World Bank. That's right behind Algeria, which spends less than 1/30th per capita of what we spend. But even these grim figures hide the full picture of our dire health crisis. We now have the worst health outcomes in the rich world, the highest maternal mortality rates, the highest number of gun deaths per capita, and the highest number of teen pregnancies. We lead the world in obesity and chronic disease. According to CDC, 60% of Americans have at least one chronic condition.
Wow. Articulate, passionate, lays out a lot of problems. I'm not sure I would agree with him. He mentions gun violence, healthcare. I don't know. I have to look a little deeper into what he's proposing. I mean, I think we have a lot of problems, a lot of it from government interference, a lot of it from corporate government collusion. We saw what happened with COVID, with Big Pharma. And I don't know the reference to gun violence. I think he's been a past advocate of heavy gun control. I don't think he's backed away from that running for president. But man, does he nail just the core issues of what's wrong with America economically. This is clip two, RFK Jr.'s response to the State of the Union. Let's take a listen.
Built for resilience. And here's the most important thing I want to tell you about the State of our Union. Our nation seems more divided than ever, but Americans everywhere want to heal that divide. Our nation has become artificially divided by political forces that can survive only when we, the people, are at war with each other. People are tired of being manipulated by fear. We learned that lesson during COVID. We recognize that the same techniques of manipulating fear are being used by elites today to corral us into voting for one political candidate or the other. Americans are tired of these dire warnings that to preserve democracy itself, you better vote for our guy. I can tell you that in every state of this union, people are rejecting fear-mongering.
Bingo. That is where RFK is at his best. When RFK is talking about corporate government collusion, big pharma, medical tyranny, and core economics about hollowing out the middle class and all that, he is just pretty much without peer. He nails it. Censorship, the involvement of our intelligence agencies and with big tech. He is a phenomenal force. And I'm seeing some results in Arizona showing that RFK Jr. is, and it's a three-way race between Biden, Trump, and RFK Jr. It's like 33-33, and RFK comes in like high 20s. I mean, it's very close, almost within the margin of error. I don't think he'll get a debate stage with the other two. I think he should get a debate stage. I've never liked the two-party system. I don't think I'll be voting for RFK Jr., although I've flirted with the idea many times, mostly because of his environmental issues. And his just, he still has a core activism of FDR, liberalism, and Democrat, old school Democrat, which I can live with, to anything over any of this new fascist, tyrannical Democrat. But anyway, just really, really impressive stuff. And he nails about the fear mongering, because that's what, aside from using force, what government does equally well is imposing fear. And if you go back, 9/11, we're still living under the 9/11 Terrorist Emergency Act of power of Congress, which gave us the surveillance state. We are barely just got out of the COVID emergency response on the federal level. I think it's still in some of the states, and that's a whole other issue. All 50 states have to deal with that on their own. And we really need emergency power reform. But it goes back to when Anthony Fauci was on PBS, and they waited until years later. This was to air this clip. But he goes into a poor African-American neighborhood in Washington, D.C., and he's trying to push the vaccine on African-Americans, which is kind of humorous because they know you can't trust the government, given all the past medical experiments, the Tuskegee experiment and others on African-Americans. The clip ended in Anthony Fauci running down the street away from this guy, a gentleman sitting on his porch who just started railing on Anthony Fauci. I know what you're about. You're about fear. Every night I see you, you're about fear. You're just promoting fear. It's all about fear for your agenda. And Anthony Fauci just took off like a bird because he couldn't handle it. A very rare moment where Anthony Fauci was actually confronted by someone passionate, articulate, loved to see it. And so that is what we need, is a president who understands it. RFK claims he understands. He says he sued every federal agency, knows the ins and outs, knows all their tricks. In some ways, he would be a great administrator. I do worry again about his FDR liberal background and all that, although I'm willing to cede a lot on that in this day and age. Let's put it this way. I'll vote for Trump, but it's not too far of a distant second that I would vote for RFK Jr. I still think Trump needs to clean up his act on COVID. He needs to clean up his act on Operation Warp Speed, admit that it wasn't the greatest thing since sliced bread, that we didn't save Spanish death toll. He needs to admit that Governor Cuomo did a horrible job and Ron DeSantis did a great job, or he at least needs to correct the record on that. I know it's rhetorical flourish and he was attacking Ron DeSantis, so he's looking for stuff, but that was not cool, okay? As the kids say, although that was the Generation X kids, which I am, they said that, so it's not the kids anymore. It's us old people, this is where it's cool. Anyway, this is a great clip. This is clip three, Joe Biden, I don't want to say curse words, but Yeah, very weakly saluting a Marine when he gets off Marine One, the helicopter. Let's take a look at clip three and Joe Biden at work. Yeah, a little confused there. I mean, I'm nitpicking here, having a little fun with it, but this is, he did not help himself. I'm watching all the conventional media, the corporate media, the Democrat media. He did not help himself with his State of the Union, the angry old man. He got the old man vibe turned into the angry old man vibe, the shouting man. So I don't know. I just think it was such a partisan speech. I think he helped himself among the MSNBC crowd, but not necessarily the CNN crowd. And I do put a distinction. CNN is slightly attempts to actually give a little bit more news and less bias than MSNBC. MSNBC is just full gone when it comes to that kind of presentation. Okay. When Joe Biden talks about immigration, when Mayorkas, the Border Patrol agent, talks about the illegals coming over, they talk such a weak game. And we all know what happened, as we showed you Senator Katie Hopkins, the senator from Alabama, her response to the State of the Union. We know that the second Joe Biden was elected, one of the promises he kept was to open the border and just lift all of Trump's restrictions. Well, just take a look back. Let's go back 30 years ago, back to the 1990s. And it's amazing what Democrats had to say about immigration, and not just 30 years ago, even President Obama, 2009. Let's take a look, clip four.
This is not going to be a free ride. It's not going to be some instant amnesty. What's going to happen is you are going to pay a significant fine. You are going to learn English. You are going to go to the back of the line so that you don't get ahead of somebody who was in Mexico City applying legally. But after you've done these things over a certain period of time, you can earn your citizenship. So that it's not something that is guaranteed or automatic. You've got to earn it. But over time, you give people an opportunity. Now, it only works, though, if you do all the pieces. I think the American people, they appreciate and believe in immigration. But they can't have a situation where you just have 500,000 people pouring over the border without any kind of mechanism to control it. So we've got to deal with that at the same time as we deal in a humane fashion with folks who have put down roots here, have become our neighbors, have become our friends. They may have children who are U.S. citizens. That's the kind of comprehensive approach that we have to take.
You know, imagine that, you know, President Biden would be considered now an immigration fascist or an immigration I guess you'd call it Hispanic hater. It's amazing how they've evolved. And that was just President Obama in 2009 speaking about the immigration policy, which would be so refreshing of Democrats today. Now, a lot of Democrats are starting to sound like that. Like, of course, we're opposed to illegal. After they've spent the first 3 years of Biden administration, just wide open borders, wide open. Okay, one final clip and we'll go to the break is Joe Biden asking for new spending. This is Charles Payne from Fox Business. Roll clip five.
If it didn't cost them half their costs just to fill out the red tape, you know, there's a lot of opportunities out there for the private sector. This is a budget that says we don't believe in what America was built on, capitalism. We do not believe in capitalism. This is a war against capitalism. The State of the Union, President Biden brought up the Civil War and FDR and the idea of fighting on two fronts. This is the fight he's talked. This is the fight they're really having. It's a war on capitalism, bigger government. How can your budget go up 44% pre-pandemic? That was only 4 years ago. Yeah. So we've never really had, the problem has never really been getting the cash, right? It's been spending. So if the budget is $7 trillion and they get five next time it's $8 trillion, it never stops.
You talk about the housing affordability, and it makes me think about the dynamic of the president and the left saying, oh, well, we're providing all these handouts, right? We're going to have all this government backstop and stimulus that's going to drive growth. But at the same time, we've got to pay for that. And when it comes to affordability, our interest rates have all had to go up to pay for that massive government spending that led to inflation. So at end of day, you have to ask yourself, who's eventually going to pay for this? Nothing is free.
And the answer is, we are all going to pay, and the piper will, the bill will come due. We will pay the piper. And it's a question of when. It's going to be whether it's interest rates, the collapse of the dollar, unprecedented inflation or deflation. And, you know, we already have this Russian alliance with China, a lot of discussion about the Chinese yuan being the new international standard, or at least an additional international standard to challenge the dollar. And this is a bipartisan problem. And that we had this under Trump, we had this under Obama, we had this under Biden, we had this under George W. Bush. But we have to get spending under control. But, you know, are we? No. I don't think any party or any candidate would be able to get it under control at this point. I don't know how to do it. I don't know, you know, just if you look back in history, the countries evolved themselves to freedom and limited government. Can anyone give me an example of where that's happened? Evolving, peaceful, slow, over years, transition of power, not a yin-yang, like, oh, we elected someone and you have 2 years of, you know, 2 or 3 years, and then boom, you go right back, or you yin-yang. I'm talking about, has any society stably evolved? I don't know. What's it going to take for it to happen? Some kind of massive collapse? We need a whole new narrative? I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. Oh, well. And we'll be continuing to pursue the answer to that. All right. When we come back, it will be my thrill and pleasure to introduce to you Sam Sorbo, who is a education freedom advocate. She's an actress, and she has a new movie out, actually called Miracle in the East. And she's going to be talking about the ills that harm our culture and what they're trying to do with our children and why she's such a passionate homeschool advocate. When we come back, Sam Sorbo will be joining us on TNT. This is Unleashed with Mark Morano. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages.
TNT's Hervoye Morich.
Being reported today, Canada's financial intelligence unit has shut some of its systems down as it manages what it calls a cyber instance. So again, we've been warned many times over about Cyber Polygon and something like this happening at a greater scale before or during 2025. That's what has been simulated. Whether it happens or not is an entirely different story, but more often than not, when they simulate, you know, pandemics, war scenarios, they do come to pass.
Hervoye Morich on today's News Talk TNT.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are opportunity zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702 or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
If you're talking about it, we're talking about it. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to Unleashed on TNT. I'm your host, Mark Morano. All right, joining us now is Hollywood actress, producer, writer, Sam Sorbo, and now homeschool advocate. or a full-time homeschool advocate, or at least her passion is that. Welcome to the program, Sam.
Yes, I've been an education freedom advocate for over a decade now.
Yeah, I didn't mean to imply it was a recent conversion there, but thank you so much. Well, tell us a little bit about your background. We know you're married to Kevin Sorbo, who appeared in my film, Climate Hustle 2, and we had a lot of fun shooting that down in Florida. But tell us a little bit about your background. You're not just an actress, you're a writer, producer. Your most recent film was Miracle in the East. Tell us a little bit about that movie, but tell us, you know, where you're coming from and why it's so important for the movies you make and the movies you appear in Hollywood and in our entertainment industry.
Well, okay, so I'm coming from public school. I was sent to public school as a young child all the way through public high school. I eventually got to college and I studied engineering. And then I dropped out because I had made money over, I took a year off from school and I made money. And that made me wonder, why am I still in school if I'm doing what they told me to do, which was to go make a lot of money, which is what our schools basically preoccupy themselves with. They're no longer about creating a life for yourself or, you know, having a mission or a purpose for your life. The mission that they assign you is to make money. And I managed to do that because I started modeling and I made a lot of money. And I was like, okay, so I'm done with school because clearly I can do this, right? And that led me on a search for meaning in the universe because the school told me that my purpose was to make money. And I realized very quickly that that was not going to fulfill me and that I wanted a family and I wanted a husband. And of course, that brings us to Kevin. Met Kevin. Had three kids and figured out that they were the most important thing. And why was I allowing strangers to have more influence over my children than I had, which eventually led me to take them out of school. So I took my oldest out at the end of his second grade year. The other two both did kindergarten. For my third child, kindergarten happened to be a disaster, but I didn't know it for another 10 years. When she finally confessed to me because she finally figured out that it was kindergarten where she learned how stupid she was. And she is not stupid. But unfortunately, that's where she learned that she was stupid. And that sticks because when a child is 5 or 6 years old, those lessons matter. And so over the course of you know, the decades that I home educated my children, I learned a lot. And that's what brought me to where I am now, where in filmmaking, I like to tell true stories. Historical stories that will uplift the human spirit and share truth and show us where we should be aiming as opposed to denigrating the United States or denigrating any particular race, for instance, or just having a doom and gloom kind of attitude that, as you know, the left has. So, you know, Climate Hustle 2 and the rest of those, they are very much involved in telling a better narrative, a better story of where we stand with the climate. I don't know why we think that this is the perfect climate and don't touch it.
Yeah.
Like we have to stay right here. Climate doesn't change unless we change it. And so we have to stop changing the climate. It's absurd. It's absurd on its face. But if they keep beating us over the head with these kinds of messages, at some point we're just going to say, okay, I guess you're right. I don't know. And frankly, you know, everything that we learned in school was agree with the experts. The experts know, you don't know, trust the expert, agree with them. And that's where we are today. And so if an expert like Greta Thunberg, how did she become an expert? I have no idea. Comes in and says, oh, we're using too much whatever. We just take her word for it. She's a 16-year-old who didn't graduate high school and she's supposedly an expert. I guess I'm an expert too.
Well, what impact, you know, since you brought up climate change, what impact does this have? You think about it, kids are indoctrinated from kindergarten through college. And yes. You mentioned Greta Thunberg. She actually has said publicly on multiple occasions, when she was advocating for kids to skip public school, which, hey, may not have been such a bad idea in the end, right? You know, they stay home.
I was in agreement with her. strange bedfellows, right?
But she said multiple times, you know, why should kids go to school when they have no future? And President Obama gave a remarkable interview last year where he said his two daughters came to him and said that, you know, a lot of their friends don't really want to get jobs or do anything because they don't think they have a future due to the climate crisis. What kind of message is that? What does that impact does that have for the kids that actually buy this, you know, this information, especially the public school kids? What impact does that have if it's like, well, your life isn't worth living because we're doomed?
Yeah, no, it's a disaster. And here's the thing, and this is why I'm a storyteller, because the stories that we tell ourselves matter. And so, you know, I've started saying things like, parenting isn't hard. Stop telling yourself that it is. Learning isn't hard. Stop telling yourself that it is. Teaching isn't hard. Stop lying to yourself, right? And by the way, they are lying about climate change because they have no evidence. They never offer statistics that are worthwhile. They have fake statistics that they make up. And of course, this is tremendously degrading. What's the word I'm looking for? Devastating. It's devastating to young people because they think that there is no future. They think that they are responsible or their parents are responsible. It's extraordinarily divisive, by the way. They think that their parents are responsible for poisoning the earth, for ruining the earth. And it's absurd. You know, they claim that we are overpopulated. You know how I know we aren't overpopulated? A billionaire crashed his plane and went missing and no one could find him.
A billionaire.
If we're
yeah.
overpopulated, somebody would have collected that reward.
Yeah. And it's always, they always try to use crises. Now, whether it's, I would argue,
they
even
create, you know, the crisis.
Or they create it. Yes. I mean, you got COVID. Let's use that as an example. You had everyone on the same page, the ruling class, academic, corporate media, government, international organizations like the UN, World Health, and World Economic Forum, all basically saying, we're all going to die. Spanish flu death tolls. We have to copy China. That was their actual advice to that. But that literally changed many kids' lives forever. Now, you might, maybe it was a good thing they didn't go to public school, but you know, they literally were churches closed, kids sent home, stay at home orders, funerals, weddings canceled. We were to listen to politicians and unelected bureaucrats on a whim. You know, what impact does that have even on someone's life when they can just, when, especially a kid, they're growing up and all of a sudden everyone in society just says, there's a crisis, we're going to shut everything down and your life's not going to be the same for years on end.
Yeah, I mean, I'm terribly conflicted over this because on the one hand, homeschooling did double over that time and has remained robust, right? Because even when some people went back to school, others got the heck out, right? So on that front, this was actually a good thing. But what they did was they actively harmed children on purpose with knowledge aforethought. So I don't believe we should give them a pass. I believe they should be prosecuted. I think that what they did, they knew what they were doing and it was disastrous. And they ruined young people's lives, many young people. And, you know, there are people who need the social interaction. They need it. And I'm not saying that school is where they should get it. But if school was where they were getting it and they were deprived of school, deprived of church, deprived of going to their dance class or their taekwondo or jujitsu or whatever, or soccer or whatever, right? If they were deprived of that, like that, it was just shut off. That's like putting them in solitary confinement. What they did to us during this fake pandemic, because the statistics are in and we had the numbers at the time and we knew that it was not nearly as devastating for younger people as for older people. Now I understand the teachers didn't want to teach, but they had other reasons to not want to teach. And the unions were running that show. And what they did to the children, when they put them in masks and plastic, and they made cubicles for the children, and they made them wear these plastic shields, and they made them not talk to each other and eat lunch sort of separated with plexiglass, but not, I mean, it's absurd. I remember I was actually working on a sitcom, and we had a Nazi, you know, on set, watching every move and making sure that we kept our masks on and testing us and doing all of this stuff. And there was a scene where it was a group scene and everybody, all the actors were sitting around in a circle and they were just sort of filming in the circle. And so they would take a break to reset for lighting or for camera or whatever. And we had this, what's the word I'm looking for? She was just the monitor. And she said to us, I know you don't want to put your masks on between takes and it's not that long between takes, but don't talk because you're spreading the virus when you talk. So please breathe through your nose and don't talk.
Wow. That reminds me. Yeah, Mayor Garcetti of Los Angeles actually met Magic Johnson during one of the most strictest mask mandates in the country in Los Angeles. And he was photographed next to Magic Johnson, the basketball star, without a mask on. And when he was asked about it, he literally said, "I held my breath when I took the photo. So it's okay that I didn't have a mask." You know, that's the kind of, you know, this is the kind of, what kind of message does that send to children, let alone our society? It's, we truly went off our rocker during times like that.
Here's the thing that, and I really want to point this out to people. The message is laws don't apply to me. Yeah. I can make laws that apply to you. They don't apply to me. That's slavery. And unfortunately, because we all went to public school, basically, we were taught to be enslaved. That's what we learned in public school. So my mission is to get kids out of the public schools, out of the government schools. I shouldn't even call them public schools. They're government schools. But my mission is to get the kids out because that is the dissemination of slavery, of a slave mentality into the population. And the proof is what we just went through. So we have all been, by varying degrees, we have all been enslaved. We have all been indoctrinated into the slave mentality. And so we put up with Mayor Garcetti. He should have been recalled immediately. And it should have been a no-brainer. Everybody should have been out voting. He said we needed to do this. He didn't even bother doing it himself. Why are we still listening to him? Impeach him. Get him out of office. But we don't, because we've been taught to sit quietly. Don't ask questions. Only ask permission to ask a question first. And nobody knows what question to ask because nobody taught us what questions to ask. They taught us not to ask. Right. And so this is, now we're seeing the fulfillment of all of this. And it's very sad. My mission is to get kids out of school, but I posted this the other day. Rather than worry about the indoctrination of your children, first try to undo your own indoctrination.
Yes.
And then maybe you can help your child. It's like, put your own mask on first, put your own oxygen on first before you help your child. You guys have to get the slave mentality out of your system so that you can then dislodge the slave masters, or your children will just succumb. And also pull your children out of school because they will just succumb. And between you and me, I mean, climate change is like, that's a done deal. Gun rights are gone. Do you know why? Because all the kids in school today are learning guns are bad. Yeah. And they will not hesitate to vote down the Second Amendment when it comes to that. The left is just biding its time because they know they're capturing the youth. They're capturing them. That's the word. They are capturing their brains.
I interviewed a Canadian physicist who was at University of Ottawa, I believe, who finally left higher education. And his complaint was that the schools were literally training what he called just obedience. That was their number one goal, is to train people to be obedient. He called them obedient intellectuals because he was doing master's program at the time. And he was minting out fresh physicists who literally, from the academic standard, was just making sure that they were obedient to the system. And it's what you referred to earlier, Sam, the idea is the credentialed experts, the science, you know, in quotes. Is that what public schools basically do, is just promote obedience to the state? And the idea is, you know, yours is not to question why, yours is but to do and die and listen to, you know, in other words, just listen. You have to obey what we tell you and obey the experts.
Yes. And so what I say, there are four things that are foundational in any, basically, and I hate to say this, but in school. Okay, because of the paradigm of the school, which is the teacher teaches and the student sits quietly and absorbs, right? It's don't ask, because you're not allowed to ask a question unless you first ask permission. And that's a barrier to entry. So the lesson is don't ask. Then it's don't try, because failure's bad. And so nobody wants to fail. You get the big red F, everybody laughs at you. Failure's bad. Don't try, right? We have to think further than the surface. We are not taught to think below the surface. We're taught to regurgitate what we've been told. That's what we're taught to do. And we are told that that is called learning. It's not. So the schools don't educate, because they don't teach people how to learn. They teach them lies. And then they call it things like education and learning, but it's not. So it's don't ask, don't try, don't think, because really just regurgitate what the teacher told you. That's the way you pass the test. And that's how you move up the game of school, right? And so it's just don't ask, don't try, don't think. And the final one is don't read. Teacher read the book. She'll tell you what's in it. That's what the lecture's for. You take notes and then you regurgitate it for the exam. You don't have to read the book. Teacher read the book. And as an evangelical, I will tell you that that is the attitude in most of our churches today. I don't need to read the Bible. Pastor read the Bible. He'll tell me what's in it.
Yeah. All right. Well,
and that's where we are. And so COVID comes and you've got experts on television, and somebody put them on television. They must be expert, and they're telling everybody what to do. And Dr. Birx in the background is writing directives that contradict everything that President Trump is saying. And nobody knows any of the wiser. None of his aides, nobody tells him, by the way, Dr. Birx is completely countermanding you straight to the governors. And that's why the states aren't doing anything that you're telling them. It's not the media necessarily. It is partly the media. But we were ruled by an unelected bureaucracy. Unelected.
Right. And Deborah Birx, by the way, the COVID coordinator, brags about everything you just said. She brags about how Anthony Fauci and her duped Donald Trump into the 10 days to slow the spread. You could even see a photograph from the press conference. Watch the video. They both have a smirking smile. They exchange glances like, we did it. We conned them. We got the 10 days. Because they knew once they had the 10 days, it was going to be almost impossible to reopen the country back up. But we have to take a break right now. When we come back, I want to talk to you about, you know, we can talk about public schools, but something happened in the last 10 years, the last 5 years, that is even beyond the pale for the history of public schools. And that's the transgender agenda. That's the critical race theory. And of course, we talked about the COVID theater that occurred as well. But I want to talk to you about how this happened and what impact those things are having on kids. This is Unleashed with Mark Morano on TNT. We're talking with filmmaker, actress, and homeschool advocate Sam Sorbo. We'll be right back after these messages.
I said, could she die? And the doctor said she could. It was so scary.
When I started clawing at my neck and trying to breathe, and I thought, you know, what are we going to do if I die here? How's everyone going to go on?
When someone's gravely sick or injured in the bush, they rely on the Royal Flying Doctor Service. But now the Flying Doctor needs your help to fund vital medical equipment and supplies. Please search Flying Doctor online to give a regular gift of just $10. You can help equip the Flying Doctor's teams to respond to any emergency anywhere. Search Flying Doctor online. Become a part of the Royal Flying Doctor Service and help save lives in the bush.
On a virtual road, you can test the limits of your driving ability to see how fast you can go under the most extreme conditions, like when it's dark, when the weather's bad, or when the unexpected happens. The higher the speed, the harder the impact. But driving isn't a game or a race. When you're on the road, just 10 miles per hour over the limit can mean the difference between life and death. You're responsible for people's lives and your own. Slow down and save lives.
From economics to the woke agenda, this is Unleashed with Mark Morano on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to TNT's Unleashed with Mark Morano. We're talking with Sam Sorbo. Sam, you know, we're talking about public schools and the impact on kids and our society, and how they just want us to, essentially, they want to dumb everyone down, make us useless eaters, in the words of Yuval Harari, the World Economic Forum advisor. One of the ways, I'm going to show you, this is clip six. This is a drag queen event at a family-friendly event in Alabama. And we've seen these at government libraries, government schools, public schools. Let's take a look at clip six, and I'm going to get your reaction to what today's generation of kids from elementary school to middle school to high school are being exposed to. All right, that's enough. I probably played that too long, but you get the idea. The question is, why do transgender activists, drag queens, want to so badly entertain children with this, or what they call entertainment? Where did this come from? I don't remember this being a thing 5 years ago, 10 years ago.
Well, it's a perversion, and they want to spread the perversion. And so that's the simple answer. The real question is what parents are doing. What are the parents of these children thinking? And that was a child that was handing money to this individual who was dancing and shaking the booty and whatever. I actually did tweet. Can I call it tweeting? I X'd it or whatever. X'd. Anyway, so you know, here's the problem. Having gone to government schools for decades now, this society has been disempowered to discern. We lack discernment. We are afraid to call things evil. We are afraid to call things bad because we've been told that's discrimination and you shouldn't discriminate. And they've taken even the Bible and used it against us. Judge not, lest you be judged. That phrase actually means, don't judge somebody for the same thing that you're doing, because you will also be judged for doing it. But that's not what they are trying to that's not the way that it's used. The way that it's used is, don't judge, because what, Jesus didn't judge? Excuse me, yes, he did, and he still does. So buyer beware. This video is, and by the way, this is like one of a gazillion. These things are happening all over the place in our public libraries that we personally fund. But what are we doing about it? Very little. There is Dan Kleinman on, I know him from Twitter. He's got an alternate library association that is like clean libraries. There's Living Libraries, is a friend of mine who specializes in really good books for children, basically books that were published before 1950. Those are the recommended books. Don't buy books for kids that are published after then, because you just don't know what you're going to get. We have seen a degradation of our culture that has been on purpose. And this is what you were sort of leading up to, is this transgender movement. This is part of the Communist Manifesto. In fact, you know, I do a show on Patriot TV now, and so this is going to be part of my show today. So part of my show prep, and I'll show, like I've marked in the book, you can see I've got little markings in it. One of the best books out there, I highly recommend it. It was written many years ago by Cleon Skousen, and it was admitted, the Communist 45 that he details in this were admitted into the Congressional Record. And this is the list of them. And they've accomplished most of them, if not all of them. And so I will read you several. Get control of the schools, use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculum, get control of teachers' association, check, check, and check. Put the party line in textbooks, check, that's been done. Eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression. Why? Because communism is a religion, ladies and gentlemen, and Christianity is a combative religion to communism. It's an alternate religion that they don't want, because they don't want you to have freedom of thought. They don't want you to have a choice. And so they eliminated prayer. any phase of religious expression in the schools on the ground that it violates the principle of separation of church and state. What principle is that? Can you find it in any of our founding documents? No, you can't. But nobody knows that. Because why? Because our government doesn't teach founding documents. Our government has no interest in teaching us the ins and outs of government, because the ins and outs of the United States government hold that we, the citizens, retain the power. And the government doesn't want us to know that we retain the power, so it won't teach us anything about government. That's why most of you can't name more than three signers of the Declaration of Independence. Did you even know there were 56 of them? Did you know that every single one of them was Christian? Not just a little bit Christian, a lot Christian. Most of them had translated their own Bibles. Maybe not most, several. So this is the Communist 45. I emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influence of parents. They're not your children. Joe Biden says they're not your children. Randy Weingarten says they're not your children. They're all saying it. The governor of Virginia said they're not your children. Attribute prejudices, mental blocks, and retarding of children to suppressive influences of parents. This is in the Communist 45, and this is my answer to them. They're your kids. They're not someone else's kids. They're yours. Keep them with you. Raise them yourself.
Wow.
Teach them at home.
Yes. Well, I have one more clip.
Get a little bit feisty.
Yeah. Let me show you the first 10. Just show the first 10 seconds. This is the highest ranking female admiral in the United States Navy, allegedly. Roll the tape. Rachel Levine.
Hello, I'm Admiral Rachel Levine. This Black History Month, I'm pleased to partner with OMH in advancing better health through better understanding for Black communities. Climate change is having a disproportionate effect on the physical and mental health of Black communities. Black Americans are more likely than white Americans.
Okay.
That's a little bit racist. It's a little bit racist to say that climate change affects Black people worse than white people. What is the implication? What does she imply? I don't understand. I mean, it's ridiculous. And by the way, I don't know if you know this, the NIH is awarding $214,000 in grants to study how best to transition a male voice into a female voice. And wow. Rachel Levine may benefit from that research.
Well, do you recognize him as the highest ranking female in the Navy? Should women all over be proud of that accomplishment? I'm sorry.
I'm trying to keep a straight face
asking the question. Go ahead.
It's cultural appropriation. Yeah. And I resent it. I got one thing going for me. I'm female and you're not.
Well, what about, he also is bringing up, you know, race. Critical race theory is relatively new in terms of how it's been mainstreamed in school. I mean, again, 10 years ago, this was in colleges, especially the more liberal. Now it seems to be standard curricula across the country. It's amazing how rapid both of these issues, transgenderism, critical race, how does that happen? You go decades, there's elements, and then all of a sudden it's everywhere, all over public schools. What phenomena causes that?
No, that's only your perception of it. So, okay,
so
perception,
it's been as
perception
bad as
is. So perception sort of forms our truth in a sense, but if you actually look, it's been in the textbooks for a long time. In fact, I'd refer you again to my book. It's been coming for a very long time, and it's been in the textbooks. This book is actually, I think it's 2008 published, I think. And it talks about Common Core, which was the beginning of this. And even that was the softening of the curriculum. And so what they did was they softened the curriculum to allow for this space. And then they inserted it. And the reason that it seems like it's been so quick is because COVID sort of opened the floodgates. It allowed us to peek inside, but it also allowed them to come out. And so now they've been emboldened. The people who are at the forefront of this transition, they are transitioning us to accept communism. That's the transition that's happening. They're transitioning you, they're transitioning the parents and the children. And, you know, we're hearing more and more of these stories of young people who are trying to, who are being convinced. They are being convinced and persuaded by adults to transition their genders and to go in for surgeries that are irreversible, and to take hormones that are irreversible. And the experts are telling the parents, you need to butt out. You need to be on board with this. You need to use the different pronouns. You need to use the new name for the child, because otherwise the child will kill him or herself.
All right. Well, we're talking with Sam Sorbo. Thank you for joining the program. Any website or a place people can get more information about your homeschool efforts?
Thank you so much. Everything is at sorbostudios.com. Sign up for our newsletters, please. And then go and get the copy of Miracle in East Texas, which is our latest film. It's a comedy and it's a true story and it's fully American. So buy it at sorbostudios.com.
Sorbostudios.com. Thank you so much. This is Unleashed with Mark Morano. See you next time.